Father, once again, I just give you thanks and I praise you, Father God. Thank you and praise you, Father, once again for this opportunity, Father God. Thank you, Father God. I'm humbled. And I just thank you, Father, that you saw fit, Father God, put it in our hearts. You know what you've put inside of me, Father God, to speak and to say. I pray, Father God, that I would do that and do that only. I thank you for tonight, Father God. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your people. I thank you, Father God, for our pastor and first lady, Mrs. Shorter, Father. And I pray, Father God, that their trip be a prosperous trip, a safe trip, Father God, a pleasant trip, Father, and that it would yield all that you have planned for it to yield, Father God, from their ministry trip, Father. And thank you, Father God, that you will return them back to us safe, refreshed, restored, Father God, and full of your word, Father, in Jesus' name. I just thank you, Father, and praise you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you also, Father, and praise you also once again, Father God, for your word that you've put in me, Father God, to speak tonight. I pray that I'd only speak and say those things that you'd have me to speak and to say, Father God. I'd only do those things that you'd have me to do, Father. I thank you that your word, as you said, will go out from you and will not return unto you void, Father God. But it would accomplish all that you have set forth for it to accomplish. Father, you know my heart also. I pray, Father God, that I convey the spirit and the vision that you put on the man and woman of God over this house, Father. And I just thank you once again, Father, also for the power and authority that you've given us over the enemy. I exercise that power and authority now in the name of Jesus. I call all the plans of the enemy null and void and ineffective in Jesus' name. He may come and try, but we just thank you, Father God, that your word stops him in his track in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Father, and praise you in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise this evening for what you have already planned, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, good evening once again. We are 3/4 of the way into the new year. You guys realize that? We're 3/4 of the way into the new year. January 21st, it comes and it just moves so fast. But I'm excited. I'm excited about the new year. I'm excited about what God has planned. I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about what he's doing here at PCC. I'm excited about MTS. How many of you are enjoying MTS? I want everybody to raise your hand except my daughter. I don't want her to raise her hand. I'm enjoying it, but I don't like that she comes home and tell me how much she's enjoying her other classes that she's not. That's not my class. She dropped out of my class and went to the, yeah. Then she comes home and she tells us how much she enjoys her other class. No, I thank God that she enjoys the class, because I'm telling you, they're good. These classes had been started way back in the mid-90s. The first one I took was the Patriarchs. And I'm telling you, I learned so much, it opened my eyes up about the Bible in general. So they're so good. And then, of course, I learned about your motivational gifts, which helped me to know about myself and why I am the way that I am and why I do the things that I do and how I, can fit in the ministry. So they're so good. And then the two additional classes that we have, History of the Church. My first class, number one, the second part of class, number one, the teens came a little late. So, they didn't come late, they were getting good stuff from pastor. And so I was just kind of hanging out and listening to History of the Church. Whoever's in that class, I'm telling you, getting some good stuff, because I was sitting there up top. You didn't see me. I was sitting in the chair, waiting for the kids to come, and I was listening. I'm like, I would like to be in that class. I don't feel like I'm missing something, you know, because I've never had that class. So, yes, 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 exactly. So it's exciting. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, at some point we'll get a chance to get that class through. Whenever we have the classes again, or whatever, I don't know, but I know I don't like it that you, whoever's getting it, that you're getting it and I'm not getting it. I don't like that. I'm just making that seem. And then of course, trying to remember the name. Who remembers the name of Minister Terrell's class? It's I know it's a leadership class, but its principles are, but it's Building Blocks. Yes, yes. You're in that class, right? Yeah, I've heard about it. Talking about my daughter. Yes, that's what she says all the time. She says some other things too that I'm not going to say because it really made me mad. I went over to Minister Terrell and I told him it made me mad. Y'all know I'm joking, right? A little bit. But anyway, the new year, and we got some exciting things coming up. Mrs. Shorter's 70th birthday is coming up. You guys know that, right? She's going to be 70 years old. Don't even look like she's close to 70 years old. And she's got a, you know, it's a birthday celebration so I hope to see you all there. It's going to be at the best place that we can find, that they can find in Tacoma. And so definitely looking forward to that. So to get right into, oh my goodness, I've already lost 10 minutes. That 10 minutes, by time goes by fast. To get right into the message, this message is entitled, let me see where I'm supposed to stop. I'm supposed to stop at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, all right. Synchronize your watch. I just like to say that that's a nerd in me that just like to say, synchronize your watch. You ever watch those shows? But they say synchronize your watch, you know, and you, all right. So we're going to stop right. I'm going to stop right at 8 o'clock or before. But tonight's message is entitled One Thing. One Thing. And I believe God gave me this message. Because, you know, at the beginning of the year, we always do what? Goals, exactly. Resolutions. You know, we always do goals. And sometimes, I'll just say for myself, we flip those old goals and revolution from, you know, the year before into the new year because you didn't meet it. And why didn't you meet it? Sometimes, I'm going to just speak for myself. Sometimes it's just that one thing that you're not doing that you know you need to be doing, but you don't do. Sometimes it's just that one thing. You're going to see in the Bible where it was just that one thing that, you know, that kept a person from getting to a certain, you know, goal or desire or you know, that they wanted. And so we're going to touch on that tonight. We're going to start off, first of all, by just reassuring you that God wants to bless you. He's not trying to hold back. Definitely not a miser, not by any stretch of the imagination. He's not. He wants to bless us. So we're going to go over some foundational, you know, scriptures that you know, we've all heard or will hear that just reassures you, because it's just so good to read these scriptures. I was reading them. I was going over them. And it just reminds you, you know, my wife and I use a couple of them, or at least one of them, in our prayer of agreement with family members today, for something that they believe in for. So we're going to start off with Mark 11 scripture. Pastor, just recently went over this scripture, Mark 11 and 11 chapter 23rd verse. And listen to these definitive words. Listen to these definitive words in here Because that's how God is, so that you don't have to have any question about whether or not he's going to do it. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Starting off at 23, it says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," look at that word right there, whoever. It doesn't leave anybody out. "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not," now this is the qualifier, "and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever," another definitive word, not some of the things, "whatever he says." I'm telling you, it's so good to hear those scriptures over again. It's so good to just read them again, because they almost kind of sound like they're too good to be true. That whoever and whatever, he says, "Therefore I say to you," this is what Jesus is saying, "whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." And again, I'm reading these scriptures so we will all remember that God, he doesn't want to hold things back. He wants to bless us. He wants us to be blessed. He's not trying to hold blessings back from us. Okay, here's another scripture that we all know and have heard of. Just a reminder that God wants to bless us. He wants us to be blessed. Psalms 37 and 4. We're heading toward one thing, that one thing. We're heading toward that one thing. But right now, I just want to reassure you and reassure myself. God wants to bless. He doesn't want to hold us back from anything. He wants us to be blessed. He wants you to reach your goals and meet your goals if they're according to his will. If they're not outside of his will. And, just being extreme, but, if you have a goal to say, I want to rob 10 banks, God's not in it. He's not in that, Psalm 37 and 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires," this is the Amplified, by the way, "desires and petitions of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord. And petitions, by the way, are just things that you ask. You're asking God. You're asking for stuff that you desire. Delight, but here's the qualifier. You're delighting yourself in the Lord. That means that, that you're in good standing with him. You're not asking for something that's outside of his will, because he's not going to do that. Okay? These are just scriptures just to reassure you that God wants to bless us. He doesn't want to hold blessing back from us. He doesn't want to hold, whatever that thing is that you desire and whatever that goal is that you're trying to reach, that's not outside of his will. He doesn't want to hold that back. Here's another one. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything," there goes one of those definitive words, anything. Not some things, anything. "According to his will," there's the qualifier, "according to his will, he hears us." And if we know that he hears us, that's all we got to do. We got to get him to hear us. And how do we get him to hear us? By asking according to his will. That's what this is saying. According to his will, he'll hear us. "Whatsoever," there goes one of those, I'm saying definitive, and maybe that's not the right word. It's a word that has no, basically has no bounds. That's what I want to say. "Whatsoever, whosoever, anything," they have no bounds as long as they meet the qualifier. "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions." Petition is just asking God for something. that we desire of him. I would write these scriptures down, and I'd keep them, just to remind yourself that when you're asking, because, we do a lot of asking of God. We do, we're asking a lot. And we can have the confidence that he's hearing us when we're asking according to his will. Amen? One more scripture. Just a reminder that God's not trying to hold those things that we're desiring back from us. He's not trying to hold them back. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the 11th verse. He wants us to have it all and then some if it's not outside of his will. Hebrews 6th chapter, starting at the 11th verse. It says, are we there? Can you see it? It says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, sometimes those things that we're, believing for, after you've prayed, after you've made your confession, sometimes just a little bit of faith and patience. And then sometimes it's not faith and patience. Sometimes you've been faithful and been patient enough. Sometimes it's just that one thing that you're not doing that you should be doing. Or that one thing that you are doing that you should not be doing. Now, before I move on to the scriptures that... the examples in the Bible about those one thing. There's a scripture in Matthew 6, chapter 33rd verse. Pastor, at the beginning of the year, said that this is what we should do. Matthew 6, chapter 33rd verse. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse, it says, but seek first. Anybody remember Pastor saying that at the beginning of the year? This is what we need to do. Don't seek the gifts. Don't seek what God can do for you. Seek him. It says here, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness just means his way of doing and being right. The attitude and character of God. That's what we should be seeking. I know this scripture, when it talks about, these things, it talks about the body, clothing the body and feeding the body and something else. It says, that the body is more than that, If you read the scripture, you'll see that it encompasses everything, all those things that you might want or desire, that again are not outside of God's will. He's not trying to hold anything back from us at all. He wants to bless us. He wants you. Some of us sometimes might be afraid to ask for more or seek more or desire more. And I know that there are some things that I'm believing for more that are not outside of God's will. But sometimes it's just that one thing that you're doing or not doing. So let's look at some examples. But before we do that, let's go to Hebrews 12th chapter. Another scripture that you just want to keep in mind that might be holding you back from whatever that goal is or whatever that desire is or whatever that, thing that you've been longing for, waiting for, you know. Hebrews 12th chapter, first and the second verse. And it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we're talking about the men of God that have, you know, that have done some awesome things before us and are now, you know, in heaven. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Every weight and the sin, that one thing, that one little sin, are those weights that could be holding you back, which so easily ensnares us. You see how it says so easily? That's those things that the pastor has said before, you know, the devil's got history on you already. He's already got history on you. He watches and sees, you know, where your weak spots are. And he knows how to pounce in there on those areas. Just at the right time. Pastor, I was gonna say for whatever reason, but I know the reason. I had been talking about, and every once in a while he, you know, bring this topic up about pornography. He was bringing that up, and I'm like, why is he bringing that up? I'm like, you know, because at one time when the internet, you know, was like kind of new and that stuff was accessible, it was like, you know, you don't hear about it as much, still kind of quiet, still happening, but you don't hear about it as much. But Pastor just recently, and I know when he does it, it's because the Holy Spirit put it on his heart, because somebody needs to hear it, because they need help and deliverance from that. And whatever it is, you know, God can forgive you of it. I used to think, this is me, when I was a new Christian, I used to think, even before I was a Christian, that, oh my goodness, I've done so many bad things, no way God's going to forgive me for all these bad things. I used to think that, and it was discouraging before I knew of his grace, that he doesn't think like we think. He doesn't think like we think, but also learn that, you know, basically that there's a scripture that says, don't let that be, and I'm paraphrasing the scripture, don't let that be a license to sin. Like, oh, God's going to forgive me, so I'm just going to keep doing it because he's going to forgive me. You know, he knows your heart too. Some of those people that think like that, they die in that sin and have a one-way ticket to HD double hockey stick. But God is merciful. He is, you know, and he knows your heart. And I used to think, I used to think that God could, I'm like, you can't, no way he's going to forgive me for, you know, for all my sin, you know, until I learned, you know, about his word and his grace. And now, thank God, I always would ask God, help. Help me. You know what I'm saying? He knew my heart. That's the thing. He knew my heart to get it right. And then, you know, just don't let yourself, you know, go down that road or fall into that, you know, be ensnared. Because that can hold you back from those things that you're believing for. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, which so easily ensnares us. Because it slows you down. All right. Boy, that time is moving so fast. 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. think I got that right. Starting at the fifth verse. No, I'm sorry. Starting at the first verse. Now, just to give you a little bit of a history, or not a history, a little bit of a background on what's happening here. Here you got this man. He's a commander of an army named Naaman. And, you know, he's a pretty bad dude. But he's got this one thing that's kind of holding him back from, you know, you just, you like, if I could just, I got this going on, If I could just, you know, take care of this one thing. If I could just lose, you know, 20 pounds, I'm talking about myself. And you know, I'm working on it. And, you know, everything would be perfect. Here you got this man, and his name is Naaman. It says, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Assyria, was considered a great man. I'm actually reading out of the Amplified. Was considered a great man by his king. So he was considered a great man by his king. And was highly respected. So he was considered a great man, and he was highly respected. Because through Naaman, the Lord had given victory to Aram, Syria. He was also a man of courage. But he had that one thing. He was a leper. And I know that he wanted to get rid of that leprosy. And he didn't know how to do that. He didn't know what, you know. So, reading out of the Amplified, the Arameans, the Syrians, had gone out in bands as raiders and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife as a servant. She said to her mistress, talking about Naaman's wife, I wish that my master Naaman were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would heal him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told his master, the king of Syria, the girl who is from the land of Israel said such and such. Then the king of Aram, Syria, said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And that was Jehoram, the son of Ahab, who was an awful, wicked king, by the way, like his dad. Of Israel. So he left and caused the Israelite people to be taken captive. So he left and took with him 10 talents of silver. Listen to all this stuff that Naaman's doing now. One thing that's good is he's got faith that he can be healed by the man of God. So he's taken 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothing. And I was like, why is he taking 10 changes of clothing? But I'm assuming it's because, you know, it's like maybe he burned his clothes, or maybe he couldn't wash. I guess he couldn't wash it on the road. I don't know. Took 10 changes of clothing. Now we're going to jump down to the 8th verse. Jump down to the 8th verse, please. Now this is Elisha. Now when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that's what happened when the king of Israel got the letter from the other king. He sent word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Just let Naaman come to me, and he shall know that there is a true prophet in Israel. So now you've got Naaman going to Elisha so that he can be healed of the leprosy. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and stopped at the entrance of Elisha's house. And look at what Elisha did. Pastor's gone over this so many times that I'm telling you it's amazing just to see how this thing is so vivid. Elisha sent a messenger to him. Well, the way that Pastor explained it was so vivid. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. Now here, you've done all that stuff. You took all that money. You went on that trip. You took your chariots and your horses and all that stuff, and you went to the man of God's house for counseling. You went to see the man of God for some to be healed. I said counseling because I want to get at something. Don't go to the pastor or Ms. Shorter or Pastor Don, or, you know, Minister Terrell, and you're going for counseling, and they give you counseling, and then you don't follow the counseling. This is what happened. Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. He gave him specific instructions. And your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, indeed, this is what he thought. I thought he would at least come out to see me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place of the leprosy and heal the leper. And then he had a problem with, you know, going dip in the Jordan River. He said, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus in Aram, better than all the waters of Israel? So he had an issue of going to wash himself 7 times. He had an issue with the instructions that the man of God, now who's the one that's got the power and the connection to God? Now who is it that's got the power and the connection to God? You went to him, now you're going to try to dictate, you know? And it happens sometimes, really, in counseling, it does. Because sometimes, you know, pastor will assign people to one of the deacons, sometimes myself. And first things I will ask them, you know, if they've met with pastor, is, what did pastor instruct you to do? Did you do what pastor instructed you to do? And a lot of time, it's a little bit of backtracking and hemming and hawing, you know, sometimes. So, but thankfully, you know, he listened. And, boy, that time is moving so fast. He listened, you know, and he went and washed himself in the Jordan River 7 times, as instructed by the man of God. But I'm going to tell you the one thing that his hang up was, why he had that pride. Like, I'm this big chief, commander, you know, bad dude on the block. Why do I have to go wash myself 7 times in a dirty river? Why can't I go wash in a clean river? Why can't he come out to me and just, you know, wave his hand? I don't need to go wash myself, you know, in any case. And the servant said, what if he'd asked you to do something, you know, more difficult, you know, go find, you know, 100 sycamore trees and chop them all down and then, you know, squeeze all the sap out of them and pour the sap into a tub, you know, a big tub, and then you heat that tub to 100 degrees and you know, and get in that tub and stay in that tub for a week. I just made that up. But, you know, he didn't ask him to do anything complicated. That's what the servant said. He just asked him to do something very simple. So he did it. All right, let's go to Mark, the 10th chapter. So pride could be one thing that's holding you back from what you, you know, desire. Mark 10th chapter, starting at the 17th verse. 17th to the 22nd verse, I believe. Familiar scripture to I believe, most of us. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came, this is talking about Jesus, was going out on the road. One came running to him, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Now this guy, by the way, he alluded to his part of his issue, if you really read into it, is he felt like being good was enough to get him to heaven. I hear a lot of people say that. I'm a good person. No, you're not. None of us are. Not of and within our own self. We are good. We are righteous because of what Jesus did. And that's how we can go before the throne of grace and find mercy in a time of need. And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, like, I know you, buddy, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And when Pastor Mishorda teaches this all the time, they always say, and it just paints it so clearly, he didn't have great possessions. Those great possessions had him, kept him from what he was asking for, inheriting the kingdom, inheriting eternal life, because he had great possessions. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, you can't have money or possessions or things like that. But when those possessions have you, when they're your God instead of God being your God, when you can't give them up, when you, I'm talking about me included, putting money before God, when you're making money your master, when you're trusting in money, as your God, I got enough, so I don't need God. When you can't tithe and or give, yes, he had to go there. Because, that's like a big, that always has been, big, divide in the church. People don't want to part with their money. I got 4 minutes left. Last scripture. Luke, the 10th chapter, 38th verse, starting at the 38th verse. So pride could be one of those things that's, holding you back. Not wanting to give or not tithing. That could be another thing that's holding you back. That's holding you back from your blessing. If you don't have no issues with those things, tell your friends. But there is always something, one thing that we, have to deal with sometimes that keeps us from, those things that God has for us. He wants to bless us. We established that up front. He wants to bless us. Luke, the 10th chapter. And this one, I would say is the most critical because you get this one, then if you really get it in your spirit, then think it'll help with the others. Luke 10, chapter 38, verse, it says, "Now it happened as they went that they entered a city, a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him," talking about Jesus, "into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" So Mary was helping because she left from helping to go sit at Jesus' feet. So she was helping. "Therefore, tell her to help me." Martha's thinking that she must think that she is like, I'm right on by asking Jesus to tell her to help me, because she's asking Jesus to tell her to help her. And look at what Jesus says. "And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, telling you, this is a critical one, because the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. And sometimes we're missing the word. I thank God this church, they make it so hard for you to miss the word, because they got it in the bathroom, down the hallways, in a multi-purpose room. I think it's upstairs too. And, you know, so make it hard. That's how important it is, because you can miss one thing. Ms. Shorter said this recently. You can miss one thing that's just for you. That could help your life. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. There's a lot that is to be done here at Pacific Christian Center as far as serving is concerned. But you have to do what Mary did, and make sure that you're making sure that you are getting the word. It's your responsibility to sit at Jesus' feet. And when you're hearing the word, you're sitting at Jesus' feet, the shepherd, the chief shepherd, because the pastor is the under shepherd. That's a whole nother topic there. And you're hearing the word of God coming out of the man of God's mouth. Amen? It's 8:00. We're going to close up in prayer. Thank you, Father God, and praise you in the name of Jesus for the word that you have given me, Father. I pray that has been well received, Father, and that will continue to reverberate in our hearts and minds. And Father, we will go out not only here, but we will do in Jesus' name. Amen.